was
Hello. Just, you know, three guys not evading the IRS on fake television.
IRS is like, super chill. If you call them up, you're like, I can give you guys like $7 a month. They're like, cool, we'll take it. They're very chill when you call them.
I mean, they're
allegedly.
With you. They will work with you.
They're understaffed. Allegedly. They're understaffed. Like they don't got time. They just get on the phone. You can take care of something. All right, check, done. Send me a couple dollars.
Like $20,000, and they're like, so how much can you give me a month? I was like, I don't know, $50. They're like, that's cool.
Well, I feel like my TikTok watching. I've come across the same video multiple times of Waka Flocka teaching us how to evade our taxes. Like, has anyone else come across Waka Flocka telling you how to? First, you got to incorporate your LLC into another company. You pay that company to pay you, and see, then you don't owe the government nothing because you're really losing money.
That's what the Lakers
money.
Did with the PPP money too. That's the Lakers.
I feel like Dominique confessing that the algorithm is serving him that video is a giant red flag for the IRS.
No. It's a great combo. Like, they know I'm a young-ish black dude who likes hip-hop music and also has enough money to be interested in evading taxes. That is a genius algorithm to find Waka Flocka teaching me how to steal money from the government. It's
Dominique
perfect.
is now founder and CEO of Brick Squad Productions.
That is, by the way, in fact, Dominique Foxworth, a young black dude who was learning about how
young-ish,
to evade taxes.
Youngish. Yeah, I'm not young. Yeah. I'm old. I mean, Jacoby, I caped up for you before the show. I got your back, and you going to throw me under the bus?
Yeah, that's Dave Jacoby, a guy who had the email for this show in his spam folder, but lashed out and blamed everybody.
Listen,
down there below.
I'll send
Man. And Allah, he brought the bastard out of Alabaster because he came that I will resend it.
I'll resend you the link. Come on, Alabaster. I'm so mad about this.
I'm sorry that you're at the age where you need to be sent an email three times to open it.
Oh my god.
My bad. Jacoby, my bad. It's by not the like way, everyone it, uses email for years. For 20 years.
I was you know what, Alabaster? I was about to tweet the show, but now I'm reconsidering it.
I'm tweeting it right now. But to be fair, Alabaster he presents himself as the young cool guy who marshals us oldies. But I will have you all know, before we start the show, Alabaster was deep in complaints about renovations that he's doing in his house, complaining about grout and floorboards. Like, stop it. You're an oldie too. So just go ahead and jump on it. We're all on this young people's medium, being oldies. Hello, fellow children or kids. Messing up sayings.
So if we're gonna just put everything out on the table, I want to start one thing with sports before we get to the first topic. And this is for Dominique and Jacoby. Can you guys apologize to the entire debatable audience for calling the Lakers, scary? Because you guys are the crew that have gaslit me for weeks saying that this is
right.
a real playoff basketball
that's
team.
Right. No,
and
no,
I want
no,
an apology.
That was two whole weeks ago. I've already done a 180 on that take. I've already retaked that take. Sometimes you're wrong. The Lakers are not scary whatsoever. They're not
Stand
scary.
By the take. Stand by the take.
No,
the
I abandoned takes. I'm not loyal. I am not loyal to my takes whatsoever. I'm out.
These takes are not loyal to us, so I agree. We should not be loyal to these takes. Yeah, exactly. These takes ain't loyal. So I will stand by this part of the take. At no point, I've watched the Lakers plenty this season. I know they stink. I thoroughly enjoy watching LeBron James put up 50 points for no other reason other than to say to all of us, it ain't my fault. Exactly. Like, I enjoy the, did I do that? It ain't my fault of LeBron James putting up 50 every so
Wash
often.
King.
Yeah, every so often. That's fun. But the point of the take that I made was not that they're good, not that they're going to beat anybody, but healthy LeBron and healthy AD in the playoff series, if they manage to sneak into the play-in game and they're the 8 seed, that sucks for a 1 seed to have to face. I'm not moving off that take.
Just an incredible Agreed. Calvin Ridley parlay of delusion.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if we hit all these things, we're back in business, baby.
That's called being a good takester. Then you can make an outrageous take that gets everyone's attention, but you also genuinely believe. Like, I could come on here and just say, LeBron's going to win a championship, but I think that's dumb. But if I say, if LeBron finds an anti-aging serum and AD is healthy and they go on a 12-game run, and it may not even be 12 games left.
Russell Westbrook. Westbrook's key card doesn't work to get into the crypto center anymore.
Yes. And they removed the 3-point line.
21-2 last night. 21-2 in a professional basketball game to the Raptors at home.
How bad do they have to be for us to have a show and, like, there's no football news to speak of, but spoiler alert, LeBron or the Lakers aren't in the rundown. Like, we have the Lakers and LeBron. That is outrageous. That's like if Patrick Mahomes got traded to the Cowboys and we was like, nah, we'll put him in the C block.
I heard J.C. Jackson went to the Chargers. Break that down.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to say, LeBron isn't in the rundown until now.
But we've accepted the rundown and talked about him for 10 minutes before the show.
Jammed it in at the top of the show. Okay, we'll get started with some actually good basketball teams who are actually, scary as playoff teams. Our question, what was your biggest takeaway from the Nuggets' victory over the 76ers last night?
So my self-interest, of course, is in also spinning a take towards my own personal delusion. And guess what, guys? This is good news for the Sixers. It's great news for the Sixers.
Love it.
The Sixers are trying to avoid the Brooklyn Nets. We just saw what happened 2 games ago.
Love it.
This is great news. They're 41-26. They're the 3 seed right now. They want to be right in that 3-4-5, that nice fleshy middle of the Eastern Conference. So yes, you may say, the 19-point lead they blew to the Denver Nuggets and Nikola Jokic in a head-to-head MVP contest? Sure, that's embarrassing until you realize what's really happening, which is that they're trying to win a title, and they're getting better at winning that title by losing to a team that is clearly, allegedly, good.
This is great. I mean, that's a great spin. Doc Rivers himself has even said that, you know, we've got some plotted rest for Embiid and Harden down the stretch here. That's basically saying our plotted rest is plotting to lose games so we stay in that fleshy middle, as you call it, of the Eastern Conference. Because gross. I would so much rather play the Bulls, play the Cavs, play the Celtics, than I would the Nets, no matter how available Kyrie is, no matter what jacket Kyrie is wearing when he is sitting courtside in Brooklyn.
A nice jacket.
Yeah, Jokic's numbers last night were impressive, but that is unimpressive for Jokic, particularly in a game when you want to take the MVP. What it came down to is, like, I might be with you on this take, Pablo, if it weren't for the fact that one of the big problems of this 76ers trade was they depleted whatever depth that they might have had. Mm-hmm. And then we watched this game, and the Nuggets, they won because of their bench. Like, their bench, their starting five was all, like, negative and plus minus, and their bench was way over. Like, their bench won this game. And we watched the 76ers, their bench was awful. Like, they had nothing going from the sideline. They have no other alternatives other than those two stars who play in very specific ways. Well, I guess it's not fair of Embiid. Embiid can play in a number of ways. Harden kind of plays in a very specific way. So I think that maybe losing the game is not that bad, but the way that they lost the game, blowing a big lead, not solidifying any sort of bench rotation, and not feeling any more confident in anything other than give it to Joel and get out the way, like, it doesn't seem as positive as we wanted to
Alabaster,
see.
Hold on a second. No one has 600 or 700 friends and family. No one has.
Wait,
that's
impossible. You got to read this card out. There's a podcast.
Again, sometimes there are stats that I just don't believe. That's a quantifiable data. Like, they could count that. There's no chance anyone on the planet has 600 friends or family.
I mean, there may not be 700 people in Wilmington, Delaware alone. Like, so I think Bones knows everybody in the whole little tiny city.
600 friends,
like, they're just. It's just a whole city of fake companies.
We're all married. We're all married. I had trouble getting to like 40 when I was inviting people to my wedding. I was just like, this is it. Like, my wife was on 160. I'm like, I got like 30 friends.
My wife was mad. It was real lopsided. The whole church was like tilting in one direction. Just like 13 people on my side, like.
So Bones Highland, for those who are unfamiliar with what happened, Bones Highland. So speaking of the deepness, the depth of the bench that Dominique was alluding to, Bones Highland comes off the bench, scores 21. He is excellent. And it turns out that nobody has a deeper bench of friends than Bones Highland because he was playing in front of 600 to 700 friends and family, which we now officially believe, Alabaster, to be a farce.
Yes. This is reported by Bones Highland, and it's also worth noting That is 3% of Philadelphia's arena. He had 3% of the crowd were just Bones Highland stands.
He hit a bunch of four threes in the fourth quarter.
Some buckets
he,
too.
Yeah, it he went off threes. Big. Yeah. Yeah, he was playing incredibly well. I don't know how he got the nickname Bones, but I do know that skinny. He jumped out of a second story. That was my guess. Yeah, that's how you skinny. Get the name Bones.
Yeah,
he jumped out of a second story window because his place was on fire, messed up his knee, may not, and was assumed that he may not continue his NBA career. And then he comes out and cooks Pablo 76ers in the fourth, which is more reason for us to say that your theory is wrong. You think that their strategy was like, you know what? We're going to get a 19-point lead. Then we're going to get to the fourth. Don't worry. Bones Highland is going
to
cook
us. Yeah, that was not an intentional loss. They're trying to win that game.
I don't know, guys.
DeMarcus Cousins is going to go off.
You say that, but they left Bones Highland on that three at the end so open that I was like, I think they're actually trying to lose on purpose now.
Pablo, this is a great take by you. I've got a take that you guys are both going to wildly disagree with. Bones Thugs and Harmony, wildly overrated. Bones Thugs and Harmony, it's my personal opinion. You cannot disagree with me. They've got one decent song. It's because Biggie Smalls is on it. Their first of the month is bad.
Where is this coming from?
It's Bones. That's who's named Busy Bones.
No. I'm saying, where is this coming from inside of your soul? Why don't you want to meet us at the crossroads, Jacoby? What's wrong with you?
None of you have intentionally listened to a Bones Thugs song in 20 years. None of you have intentionally listened to Bones. First of all, Jacoby,
I agree with you. But maybe I'm wrong, but I thought it was Bone Thugs. Like, sure, you keep putting the S on the beginning, which is because you're old and old, which I thought it was only an old black move. Thing. it's an old everybody thing. I thought it was just like old black uncles who put S on everything at the end. But I guess it's just old people. But yeah, it's Bone Thugs. And yes, I agree with you. Overrated.
What is happening? You have not
intentionally listened to a Bones Thugs song.
Not once.
Since high school.
Yeah, I mean, never searched my library for Bone Thugs. I'm with you. I'm not a big Bone Thugs fan. They got a lot of hype because rappers weren't coming out the Midwest back then. And people were like, oh, Midwest rappers. Ooh, they sing a little too. This is cool. Biggie likes them. I like them too. Nope. Overrated.
Wow. Alabaster, I don't feel equipped to be the one person on this island arguing on behalf of Crazy Bone. So do you want to
name another thug in Harmony? Like, I need you to name another harmonizing thug, because you said Crazy four times.
Yep, that's right.
And don't start naming Spice Girls.
It's Sleepy Bone. It's
Sporty Bone.
Bashful Bone.
This is feeling real sexual. I don't know about this.
Alabaster, save us. Get us out of here.
I would try and take your side, but they're not really from my generation. I can't really count.
Oh, God.
You know.
Oh, God.
Papa right, Bone. We'll Bonette. Sorry, I'm just going Smurfs on this one. Yeah, that's
I'll
all
take
I got.
You for yourself here. Let's talk about the Warriors, where Draymond is back, which means Steph Curry is good again. And our question is, did Draymond's return assuage any concerns you had about the Warriors?
Assuage. It is worth pointing out that when people complain about Steph Curry blaming Steph Curry for the ruination of the NBA,
it looks like sausage. If you just take a quick look at it, even though it doesn't start with an S, assuage looks like sausage. Is sausage French? Assuage is probably French, right?
It is good to know how the sausage in Dominique's brain is made. We're now watching in real time what's going on here. And it is just a bunch of ground meat in there.
Yeah, it got ground up from football and now assuaging the Warriors.
The Warriors, yes. If I may assuage Alabaster's terror that this segment has already gone off the rails, the reality is when people complain about Steph Curry ruining the NBA, what they're really saying is Draymond and Steph Curry ruining the NBA. Because what Draymond does, Jacoby, what Draymond does to unlock Steph, right? He hasn't played, Draymond has, since January 9th. And yes, Bob Ryan on CNN put the Chiron up there. Yes, Steph Curry ruined the NBA. He ruined it because he does this two-man dance with Draymond Green, whether it's the pick and roll or just Draymond basically being this queen on the chessboard who can move everywhere and do everything for Steph, unlocking him. He ends up having a game like he had last night where, yes, he has 47 points on 16 of 25 shooting and is 7-14 from three. And all of those threes are made when Draymond Green is on the court. Yes, 41 of those points when Draymond is there with him.
Draymond Green in this game is being celebrated today. He scored 6 points. 6 points. 6 points this man scored. However, when you watch the Steph Curry highlights, note how many times Draymond Green is setting the screen, or Draymond Green is getting the hockey assist, or Draymond Green is pointing to Steph for where he should go, or just orchestrating the offense. He had Draymond Green, I believe, had 6 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists, which is just such a quintessential Draymond Green performance. But then when you watch the game, you see all of the things that he does, especially defensively, that unlock this Warriors team. And I said it before, and I'll say it again, Draymond's absence is more impactful than his presence. Like the way that Steph Curry struggled in January, the way that this team has fallen in the standings, not even sniffing the Suns anymore, is because of Draymond Green. And deep down in Draymond Green's soul, he loved every second of it. And then he comes back, scores 6 points. And what's he say after the game? He literally says, "We're going to win the championship," after his 6-point performance. I love Draymond Green so much. I can't wait until he is working in media and doing that every day.
Well, Dominique, I feel like Jacoby's aphorism there, his take, concussed me. Draymond's absence is more important than his presence.
That's a hell of a take.
Has thrown my ground meat
into a loop. It's assuaged your brain. I'm with you. It was beautiful. I don't know what it means.
Oh, I don't
either. But I love it. Yeah, but it sounds great.
Technically,
it landed on me, and I got tingly, and I was like, "That's a take right there." Yeah. Most importantly, what I really want to know is, after all of what you guys have said, is, do you think that all the Thugs and Harmony came, like, they met each other with bone related names, or one of them had a bone related name, and then the rest of them, like, how did this come to be? How did you end up with Lazy, Crazy, Flesh and Bone?
Busy Bone.
Busy Bone. Busy.
One's Lazy, like, one's really Busy. They sort of bounce each other out. It's like Draymond Green and Steph Curry.
Right. And was there like was there a snake draft?
was there a different name before?
Did you really want to be Lazy with the first pick? I mean, that doesn't seem like the best.
I just need to know. I need to get to the bottom of that. By the end of the show, I want to get to the bottom of that. I'm also not going to dignify this game that the Warriors just won over the Beal-less Wizards as if it's some sort of...
We're like, trying to make a big deal out of this game.
I'll do this. I got you, Dominique. Here's what the Warriors have shown you over the past week or so. Remember that Klay Thompson game when Klay Thompson was Klay Thompson again, and he had like 30-something points? And then Draymond comes back, and he's setting the screens, and he's yelling at people and making things happen. Steph Curry has 47 points. All of my concerns about the Warriors have kind of been addressed in the past 7 days. So I will say that the Suns are way up here. There's a huge gap, and then there's everyone else, and the Warriors are part of that second pack. But over the past 7 days or so, I've changed that opinion as the Warriors come together.
Got it. Yeah. So you're
congratulations to the Phoenix Suns for being the best team in the NBA for like 7 days. Right. We did it.
So you're presenting this as a game bundle. You've bundled a bunch of games.
Yes, it's a bundle package.
You've taken all of these great things that have happened in individual games, and you're believing that it can all happen together for multiple series in a row.
Exactly.
Right, you get Cinemax as part of it. Yeah, you get all that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Because everyone loves Klay Thompson.
Watch all of it, but it's there.
Klay Thompson is so lovable. I love the guy so much. Everyone loves him uniformly that no one mentioned the fact that he wasn't Klay Thompson for like the first 2 months. And then he has one good game, and we're all like, that guy. It's like Leonardo DiCaprio meme. You're like, yeah, there's Klay Thompson.
What do you think Bone Thugs was called before they called themselves Bone Thugs, though? Because I'm gonna go on the premise that they all had these names. Like, one was Crazy, one was Lazy, one was named Flesh, I guess. And then
Flesh and Bone feels like Flesh and Bone didn't get the game.
Yeah, and I guess
it really works with the rules of threes really well. It's like Bone Thugs, Harmony.
So they actually formed as Bone Enterprise and then became Bone Thugs.
Really?
Oof, Bone Enterprise is a completely different proposal.
They started off corporate. Entirely.
Yeah, they watched the Waka Flocka video that Dominique saw. They got Bone Enterprise to pay for Bone Thugs and Harmony.
A good rebrand, honestly, on behalf of Bone Enterprise. Yeah, not nearly as catchy.
Is it LLC? Is it INC?
Yeah, can you imagine the tax forms that Bone Enterprise had to fill out? It'd been very confusing.
So is Draymond
Lazy Bone would need an extension.
If the Warriors were bone, which one is Draymond? Like, my immediate thought is to go to crazy, but that's not fair. I think he gives off, well, I don't know. There's nobody else on the team that gives off crazy bone.
You know, like, he's busy. He's busy.
Steph is busy. Steph cuts a lot. He's always moving. Yeah. Like, he moves a lot. And lazy. Klay Thompson is lazy.
Draymond is literally working as a member of the media while playing professional basketball. Like, he's very busy.
I think the problem is, if you give Draymond busy, then who's going to be crazy?
That's a great point. Draymond's definitely crazy. But can we put up Draymond's – we got to put up Draymond's quote again after the game, because this is not discussed enough in sports media.
This quote crazy would be the valid question to raise.
Broken back for
2
months, come back, scores 6 points, and basically is just like 2-seed, 3-seed, sesame seed, we're winning the championship. It's like, okay, Draymond. They just guaranteed a championship into a microphone after the game when he scored 6 points. I love it so much.
And he went on to say this, quote, "Everybody says, oh, there's no Draymond without Steph. That's 100% true. And there's no Steph without Klay and Draymond."
I don't like that. You know, quote. I like the one before this one. I don't like.
He threw in Klay there, and that actually made it more, like, reasonable than I was expecting.
So he's using Sleepy Bone? Is that Klay? I don't know. Lazy Bone? He's using Lazy Bone as a shield right here, because he knew how absurd a sentence that was. So he needed to, like, to tag someone else in to bring in so it didn't seem that absurd. Because, yeah, Draymond, I think that we all believe that Steph Curry can go somewhere else. Had he been somewhere else, we believe that there's a chance that Steph Curry could still be this level star. I don't think anyone believes that Draymond, outside of this particular perfect circumstances, becomes the kind of great star that he is. You need to be surrounded by two of the best shooters in the history of the game, right?
Well, that is the problem with Draymond. And Alabaster, Steve Curry's basically said this, right? Draymond can be very busy. He can be busy bone on a team that's a championship contender, but you put him on, like, the Wizards, and that dude is lazy bone. Like, that dude does not want any part of a team that actually doesn't have a shot to win
a
title.
Draymond is all of the Thugs and Harmony. That's what we've realized.
Planet of the Thugs and Harmony.
Last season, Marcus Thompson actually said on a podcast that the next time you see Draymond Green in great shape and playing elite basketball will be the next time the Warriors are great. And he was right. He only really, you know, gets prepared when the team has a shot to win. With that said, not to play devil's advocate, but if Draymond Green didn't call Kevin Durant from the parking lot after blowing that game 7 to the Cavs, Steph Curry might have won title right now. So, to his point.
Agreed. Whoa. Good job. If Steph Curry didn't hit every 3 he ever shot, then Draymond Green... or I guess it who was the guy? I can't even remember. I want to say Kevin Love. That's kind of racist. But the guy who started in front of Draymond Green before Draymond Green,
David Lee,
took the spot.
Bogut? Andrew Bogut?
No, it wasn't Bogut.
David Lee.
It was well before
David
that. David Lee. David Lee.
Oh,
David Lee.
Oh, David Lee. Lee.
Yeah.
Legendary.
I don't know.
David Lee.
I just feel like when you play that. When you play that if game, like
Mike and Drills,
you can go ifs all the way back. In every which way, it doesn't necessarily prove anything, but the bottom line is, I think most teams will easily find a way for Steph Curry, even if he doesn't become the star that he's become, just being able to catch and shoot consistently. Steph Curry's a 6th man on someone's roster. Like, even as absurd as that sounds, Draymond Green, I'm not sure that that's true unless he's somewhere. I mean, if he's anywhere else.
Alabaster, it's also true, though, now that I think about it, that if Draymond Green had not, like, Tiger kneed LeBron in the junk during the NBA Finals, like, they may have another championship on top of the ones they actually won.
I need to apologize to the audience. That's right. I just forced you guys to debate Steph Curry's greatness, which is one of the most absurdly dumb production things I've ever done. Yeah. So, apologize to everyone.
Steph Curry, the guy's good at basketball.
The last 5 minutes.
That's my fault. You were upset at me for forcing us back down the Bone Thugs route, and you were like, anything to get him back to basketball. So I take responsibility too. It's like the Draymond conversation. If it weren't for me, we wouldn't have been in that bad spot.
There is no Pablo and Jacoby without Dominique. There's no Dominique without Pablo and Jacoby. And there's none of us without Alabaster. That's cue to you, bud.
I'm taking it back to where this all began. Middle Passage.
The original Crossroads.
Do not meet me there.
Okay. How do you view the Chargers after their moves this week?
Oh, man. Anytime I can bring up the middle passage, it's been a good day.
So the Chargers are trying to avoid the fleshy middle of the NFL. Like, this is what they're doing. They are now the team that is basically saying, I know all you guys care about your futures. We don't. We care about exactly what we're going to do this season, because Justin Herbert's on a rookie deal. They trade for Khalil Mack last week. They signed J.C. Jackson, a cornerback that I need Dominique to explain to me in terms of how impressed I should be. But he now has a 5-year, $82.5 million deal with $40 million guaranteed. So this whole all-in perspective, Dominique, and J.C. Jackson being like one of the, I don't know, the jewels in this infinity gauntlet that the Chargers are assembling, apparently, what does that all look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Rams kind of convinced people that this all-in thing was a thing, when what the Chargers doing right now is not, doesn't feel to me at all like what the Rams have done. Like, it doesn't feel like they're mortgaging their future. They're doing what you're supposed to do when you have a suitable quarterback on a rookie deal. They have better than a suitable quarterback on a rookie deal, so you have a lot of extra money. They also have an all-pro level tackle on a rookie deal, and they have Derwin James still in the late stages of his rookie deal. So they are loaded as far as that's concerned. When you have like guys who are going to break the bank, all three of those guys are going to break the bank at some point. When you have them stuck on this rookie deal, this is when you spend the money to bring in other free agents, and you do whatever you have to do to make sure that everything around them is supported. Once they get paid, you're going to have to draft and sign a little bit more judiciously. But right now, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, and they're not mortgaging their future. They haven't given up a bunch of draft picks to get this. But I do think, as far as J.C. Jackson is concerned, the only question, J.C. Jackson, who's a former Terp, he's the second best cornerback out of the University of Maryland ever. He's really good in man coverage, which is incredibly important in the modern NFL. You have a corner who can man cover, it makes your defense a lot easier. They also now have two rush ends in Bosa and Mack that will give quarterbacks hell. And then they have Derwin James, who is everything. Like, he's Kevin Durant, essentially, on the defensive side of the ball in football, where there's nothing that he can't do for your team, from rushing the passer to man coverage and number one receivers to filling in the run game. He's that good. They have enough talent to win the championship. The one thing I would say about J.C. Jackson is there's a long history of Patriots players leaving New England and not playing well. And the reason for that, I think people assume, is sometimes Bill gets out before the guys are on a decline. And also sometimes what Bill has done there is the coaching, the preparation, whether it's cheating or not, the preparation is such that the players perform really well. They know what's coming because the coaching there is so great. The one reason why I would say this is not going to happen with J.C. Jackson is that's the only position where Bill Belichick spends money. Bill Belichick has never been out here trying to cobble together shutdown corners. He'll go get Darrelle Revis. He'll pay Stephon Gilmore. So, like, J.C. Jackson, there is not a history of Asante Samuel. There's not a history of bad cornerbacks playing well in a heavy man coverage Patriot scheme. That's different if you start talking about defensive ends or inside backers or that, something like that.
I think another thing needs to be brought up is that you got Russell Wilson going to the Broncos. You've got the Chiefs in the same division. Like, you when you talk about the fleshy middle, like, you just don't even want to be in the fleshy middle of your own division, because I could see three of these four teams being the team with the worst record in that division. So if you are the Chargers, the bar has been raised a little bit, and they're just sort of reacting to the market. And also, Dominique makes really good points about the rookie deals, because what ends up happening is right around 2024, they're going to have to pay these people these absurd numbers. Maybe these $100 million contracts are coming right down the pipe. So maybe now this all-in F them picks thing that the Rams have started is actually prudent in this case.
It's good of you to bring up the division, because what we're talking about is starting to happen to the Chiefs, whereas Tyrann Mathieu's not going to be back. Ward's not going to be back. Some of the players that we've come to know and think of as Chiefs and we expect they rely on are going to have to leave. That's going to happen to all the teams in this division, because they all are going to have to pay their quarterbacks at some point.
Yeah, because Pat Mahomes got $500 million.
We're going to talk about football deals. Don't get Jacoby all riled up.
I don't understand them. I don't understand them at all.
Look, the financials of what the Chargers are doing, though, I do want to ask, like, how eye-opening it is that they are doing this. Is this a thing that is fully predictable that the Chargers went and did? Like, hey, because you have a guy under cost control, this is the time to do it? Or are they doing something that is actually innovative in any way, or risk-seeking in any way, or is this actually just very par for the course, Dominique?
Russell Wilson. Like, he's the guy that I think marks the beginning of this era where he came in and they won a Super Bowl. The Seahawks won a Super Bowl because they had a rookie quarterback and incredible talent around him. That was kind of the beginning of, and that was soon after the rookie wage scale changed and you didn't have to hand over your franchise to a first-round pick. So they were kind of first team that brought to everyone's eyes that one of the ways to win a Super Bowl is you don't need an elite quarterback, but you need a good quarterback on a rookie deal and you can build around him. He was a third round pick, so it was even better. He was making like $500,000 a year for the first several years of his career. So it's not a new phenomenon. That's what you're supposed to do. As soon as you get a quarterback that you know you can trust, you go all in elsewhere.
It reminds me of what the Patriots did last season. There was like, well, Bill Belichick has never spent this much in free agency before. It's like, well, he's never paid his quarterback this little before, so he has enough to spend in free agency. And it didn't work out great for the Patriots, and I don't expect this to work out great for the Chargers. I still consider them they're not going to beat the Chiefs. Their record's not going to be better than
I would say the one thing that you bring up about the Patriots that is interesting is their entire dynasty was kind of built on the back of a quarterback playing on a rookie deal. Like, Tom Brady never broke the bank as a quarterback.
And
that's why we should downgrade his legacy. Because he cheated.
We can also do this to the Warriors too. If Steph Curry doesn't have ankle problems when he signs his second deal, they can't build that team around him that they did with the Iguodalas and the Barnes and the Bogans.
Exactly. Wow.
Steph Curry tanked his own ankles to take a pay cut to win a championship.
Didn't you write the piece on that, Pablo?
I did.
Right?
It's an incredible story
He's so happy that you wrote
5,000 words on this, and then you're disagreeing
with me. If you'd like me to read the lead of that story from memory, I can. Stephen Curry didn't know.
We don't need owning
a dead man's tendons is how I began that story. Masterpiece Theater time. I wrote a 3,000-word story 5 years ago that I'd like to read from. I do love, though, that really is, to Dominique's point, and look, yes, Dominique is being both the guy who was the president of the Players Association in the NFL and also a guy who is insane by accusing them of cheating by doing this. But it is the number one way to thwart the salary cap. Is to take less money.
Yeah,
I mean,
the number one way to win Super Bowls is to marry a supermodel who's smarter and wealthier than you, and so that your salary does not matter. Like, that is. You're right. That is
people don't give
way.
Giselle enough credit.
She's the MVP. She's the dynasty MVP because again, Tom Brady's going to be making $25,000 next year, which I think makes him the 34th highest paid quarterback in the NFL. And he gave us MVP quality play last year. Even if his play declined significantly, he's still a damn value because guys like Kirk Cousins make it 40 a year, damn near.
That's right. I'll have to check those salary numbers, Alabaster, but it does feel like Giselle Gate should be a thing that we can engineer.
Don't insult me like that. He's the 34th highest paid quarterback in football.
Yeah, I think you said he makes $25,000, though, which I don't think is accurate.
Yeah. You knew what I meant, though. If you can correct me, you know what I meant.
You're dragging me into the correction. You're dragging me into the correction.
$25 million. No, you dragged Allie into it. You're lucky that we do this show over the internet.
We're threatening Pablo Torre.
We're doing Queensberry Rules pantomime boxing right now for the podcast audience.
All right, guys, you ready to move on?
I guess.
All right. We're going to go on to a quote. A little game of whodunit. We give you the quote. You guys have a minute. Come together and tell us whodunit.
Okay.
Who's that? Oh, Harden. Harden. Got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First quote. If I had a chance to play with the talent that Harden plays with, I'd probably be walking out of here with 5 championships. And your choices are Charles Barkley, Paul Pierce, Tracy McGrady, or Jalen Rose.
Wow. I don't know the answer to this question in a very honest way.
I'm assuming it's not Jalen Rose. Oh, that makes me assume that it is Jalen Rose.
Yeah.
Not Jalen Rose.
Paul Pierce would never think of himself as being less talented than anyone else. Tracy McGrady's been giving some hot takes lately. And Charles Barkley, I don't got Barkley saying that. I'm thinking T-Mac is the guy. Well, T-Mac was nice, though. This is someone who
T-Mac played with Yao. Yao got hurt.
Right. Paul Pierce also does sell like vape pens, I think. So I don't know. I'm feeling like maybe it's the truth.
No, really? It's Charles Barkley. I'll go with you. I'll trust you. It's the truth.
The truth.
All right. The truth. Final answer, Alabaster. What do we got?
If I had a chance to play with the talent that hard to play with, I'd probably be walking out here with 5 championships.
Oh, I misunderstood it. He's talking about the talent around him.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I thought he was saying like he was Paul not Pierce. As talented.
He wasn't talking about his own talent. Yeah.
Paul Pierce said he was better than LeBron. Many times.
Paul Pierce, by the way, to be clear, was wearing shades in that video, which just adds just a perfect bit of aesthetic to that. Yes.
Poor James Harden.
How you doing, my man?
Didn't you say that there's like a towels underneath the shirt? Like, who wears towels underneath
the shirt? Monica McNutt reported that these were towels and not a Professor Clump fat suit, which, again, I just reject journalistically speaking.
Yes. I've never put a towel underneath my shirt. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
But Paul Pierce... You know,
I mean, sometimes you put them on your back, like wrap a heating pad in a towel, like put it on your back.
Around the neck,
but I don't, I mean, with the exception of like pregnant wife, I don't think I've ever seen anyone need a heating pad on the front.
The person who should have had, a towel. This is not Paul Pierce when he pooped his pants.
If one thing we know about Paul Pierce is Paul Pierce just says stuff. I do not believe in this Poopgate thing. Even though he confessed, I still think he's lying.
He confessed and then he unconfessed, didn't he? I feel like it goes up and down with Paul Pierce. I prefer to believe it, so I'm going to stick with it. I don't care whether it's true or not.
Exactly. At this point, I do not care at all.
Poopy bone.
Poopy bone.
Bone, 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 bone. Oh.
Paul Pierce also just went straight from Kevin Garnett's retirement ceremony where Ray Allen, like one of the best shooters of all time, was there. Yeah. Kevin Garnett was there. Paul Pierce was there. He's like, I didn't have any talent around me. It's like, dude, like, what are you talking about? You literally just left like the retirement ceremony of one of the best power forwards of all time, one of the best shooters of all time.
Are you glad that they got to like get over whatever kept them from being in the same room at the same time and got that reunion, Ray Allen and Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett?
Well, I just like the idea that I know deep down they secretly still hate each other. They're just tired of like everyone knowing. You know what I mean? They're just like, everyone's talking about us hating each other, so let's just hug for the cameras. But like deep down in my soul, I still hate your guts, just so you know that, Mr. Garnett.
Garnett. Kevin Garnett doesn't strike me as someone who's very forgiving.
No.
I feel like, Ray Allen, he strikes me as someone who's more like, whatever, it happened. I don't care. Like, he's not going to lose any sleep over it.
No.
But he's also not going to carry a grudge over multiple years. And I guess he was the one who, like, theoretically did something wrong in his situation, right? Like,
he went to the Miami Heat. He betrayed his brotherhood, what Kevin Garnett would suggest.
Kevin Garnett was intense in his retirement ceremony. Like, even he was, like, intense during the interview when he's, like, he's being celebrated by 20,000 people and he still looks angry. It's like, dude, turn it off. He doesn't seem like a good hang. Like, I wouldn't want to
anything
be
is
Garnett.
Possible except for me chilling out.
Right? Oh, man.
Alabaster, what's next?
All right, guys. We're going to move on to one more topic. It's going to be around to what are the chances. We have a picture for you guys to react to here. What are the chances that these will be a top seller?
I have a problem with these. Because I feel like it should be the shape of an ear that you then take a chunk out of, not a pre-chunked ear. These obviously are Mike Tyson's edibles. But I feel like you should be able to bite a chunk out of the ear instead of it already being chewed.
You want, so to be clear, you want a gummy face. You want a gummy Evander Holyfield skull that you can gnaw.
Yes.
Or at least a full ear. And like, I'm not a fan of this because they're not selling Mike Tyson's bite. They're selling Evander Holyfield's bitten ear. So, if someone should be on the endorsement, like, you got a bunch of replicas of my ear in a bag and you selling them as drugs? Like, if I'm Evander Holyfield.
That's a great point.
I'm out here like, no, these are not Mike Tyson weed bites. These are Holyfield weed bites. Give me my money.
That's a very fair point. But I'm going to say that if I was ever in a place with legal recreational cannabis, that perhaps if I was given the regular options.
You're in a place right now for the record. You're on the East River.
I would probably buy the ears. So I'm going, these are 75% chance of top seller. They're good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll go 50-50 because I don't know the quality. But I do believe that if you're in a weed store of some kind and you have a bunch of different gummies to choose from,
exactly,
then you're like, eh, why don't I give these Mike Tysons a shot?
I really.
But then if they're not good, they don't become a top seller. No one goes back.
So you guys are all dads. And I will say that what they really need to do with edibles is put them in broccoli form or vegetable form. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
Because
that's
I can't fair. Have them around the house if they're like, hey, we got cookies and gummies and chocolates. It's just like, these are all things that my kids will devour if they find them. So they do not
daddy,
come inside my home.
Daddy, why do you put your gummy worms in the safe?
Yeah.
Daddy, your gummy worms make me feel weird. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah.
I could not imagine going to the emergency room and just be like, listen, the kid loves gummy worms. Yeah. I left the room for 10 minutes.
I feel like you would certainly not be the first person. Like, there would be no shame in that. I feel like that's had to have happened a number of times. Or it's either emergency rooms or vet's offices. That might be more than anything. It's
Yeah, there's definitely some stone dogs out there. Yeah.
My dog is too chill right now.
Oh, goodness.
So, yeah, give me 25%. I assume, like, it's probably, like, 25 milligrams in a year, right? I can sort of see that being successful.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Milligrams? What does that mean? What are you talking about?
I don't understand. Oh, I was just Googling.
Where'd you get the information?
I was just Googling.
American Jack.
What?
I was just Googling stuff that I
do research for the show.
Yeah.
You're a trap lord now? What's going on?
Weedy bone?
I would never use the metric system.
All right, y'all. We have a couple bonus topics my temple. For you. First one is a comment.
Hold on, I'm sorry, Alabaster. Dominique's disdain for the metric system is one of my favorite things I've ever heard on this show. I would never use the metric system.
How many pounds is it?
Yeah, the metric system is for drug addicts and Europeans, and I'm neither.
Weren't you born
good,
in
clean
London?
American? Hey, shut your mouth! Stop telling these people my business.
That's right.
All right, a couple bonus topics. First one's from the Scout Man who said.
Bonus topics?
Yeah. Paul Pierce, of all people, saying he needed a better number two.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, that's
Paul
good.
Pierce did not
good
put
tweet.
Himself in the playoffs. Good it tweet. Just didn't happen. Did not
yes,
happen.
Yes, he did. At the very least, he definitely sharded.
No.
Second one is sort of coming for you, Pablo.
Uh-oh.
From our friend, Long Live the Queen.
Again.
Trust the process in 2013. Intentionally lose games to get the number one pick. Trust the process in 2022. Intentionally lose games because you're scared to play an eight seed. Your thoughts?
Okay, an eight seed. Yeah, let's just examine what this eight seed actually is. It happens to have the greatest scorer in NBA. Well, perhaps arguably one of them in NBA history, right? If Kevin Durant's not on the medal stand in terms of greatest scorers of all time, I think, you know, no. I would have objections to that notion.
One of is in sports media, just throwing a one of in there is always it's always a great crutch.
Yeah, it's
you can't be wrong if you
Kevin Durant.
The one of cannot be argued. It's one of. Yes, it's one of the first 1,000, 2,000, one of.
Yeah.
I love those adjectives. One of the most iconic, one of the most feared, just like stuff that you actually can't drill me down on statistically
exactly.
in any way.
One of are two very valuable words in the sports take world.
That's right.
If the Nets black out on a team like they did the 76ers, can we call them the Ethernets, or is that not cool? I think it's cool personally. Because are we in or are we out on Ethernets?
Let's examine the entendres of
way
this
out.
Nickname,
okay,
all right.
I was way, testing way it. All right, thank you. I trust you.
I've got the Nets nickname for you. It's the NFTs. You take off that third line on the E. They're the
guys.
NFTs because they have a proposed value.
So
the idea is valuable.
Yours is,
so old.
Yours is no worse value. Than mine. Yours is worse than mine because you got to explain it. At least mine needed no explanation.
Yours didn't make any sense.
The explanation is that you think Ethernet is cool or good or fast, and it's none of
Ether.
Those things at this point.
Like the Nas song.
Yeah,
like
I know that part.
Yeah, so that's
but then
like,
you made it into the internet connection.
And they are well connected.
God,
yes,
I want to see the Nets losing the play-in. Let's just see him losing the plane to, like, the Hornets.
So you want to see the Nets get ethered?
I want Jackson to see it happen. Gotta love the drama.
You want the Hornets to dial up something on those Nets? I miss that, honestly, though. If I may indulge in nostalgia for a bit. No, yes, I want my modem to scream at me. No. I want my modem to scream at me and make me earn that Carmen Electra JPEG.
Yeah, okay. Carmen Electra. Carmen Electra. What was Carmen Electra doing?
I'm watching Pam and Tommy.
You know,
I had a Carmen Electra poster on my wall.
Being an artist.
I just Carmen San Diego type of guy. Me, trying to learn about geography. I don't know what you clowns were up to.
So you,
where
so I was,
in the world is Carmen San Diego?
I was doing a different kind of rockapella.